Welcome to Heartland Darkland. I'm Shannon.
And I'm Cassie.
Hey, Dark Arts. Hey, Dark Arts. Welcome back. And we have exciting news that I just found out. Cassie?
Oh, you want me to tell?
Sure.
This is our 1 year episode, you guys.
Yes. How crazy is that? That's right? Crazy.
I think
I lost track of time. And I mean, time flies when you're having fun, they say. So it's been pretty fun.
Well, we got done recording last week and I was like, dude, that was our 50th episode and we didn't even mention it.
I know.
Why? And then I was like, okay, which luckily I had noted it and my memories have popped up like where
yes.
we posted like
oh, yeah.
little things on our Facebook like, hey, this is coming.
Teasers.
So I knew it was coming up. And so I have a Google document that like has our list mm-hmm. for like months and everything and like what we're doing. And it specifically said for today's the day before our 1 year anniversary.
That's
so this
insane.
Is our 1 year episode, you guys.
Yay. If you've listened from the beginning, we've made
Thank
it a whole
you.
Year. We've been, yeah, we've had amazing support this whole time. I don't think we ever even knew how long this would last. I mean, obviously we had high hopes that it wouldn't just be like a short term thing, but we've made it a whole year and I don't feel like we're slowing down anytime soon. So.
No, I feel like, I mean, we're going to that conference in April, you know, and we've just been getting so much love and support. You guys, we appreciate it so much for real.
Yes.
Like just sharing, letting people know about it, rating and reviewing, like that means the world to us. And no, we're not one of those super fan, like popular podcasts yet.
But, I mean, we're early. It's still the early stages, right?
You know, it's fine. And mm-hmm. I mean, even if we never fully get, I mean, it would be real nice.
That'd be sweet.
Be nice to be able to do like live shows. I don't know how we would do that, but like,
I don't know. We'd figure it out. If that time ever came, Cassie, we would freaking figure it out.
Right.
But yeah, it is really fun. And it's fun to hear people that still like listen. And I mean, we're just having fun doing it. And we love that you guys listen and enjoy it. So I mean, we're not going anywhere, so.
No. And we'll, I think we mentioned this last time. I can't even remember anymore what was mentioned, but we're kind of trying to work on, like, setting something up so we can have, like, merch that you guys could buy and it would ship directly to you. So, like,
yes.
let us know. Oh, we did talk about this.
I think we did just briefly. Yeah.
Yeah. But, like, let us know if there's something specific you're looking for, a quote you like, or something like that. Because I know we just did something for our, second tier patrons and those turned out so good.
Yeah, by the way, love that. I was just looking at it and it's amazing. So
I'm like, I want one of these for myself now.
I know. We don't have any of our own merch. Well, I do because I guess we have like a couple things that we've got each other, but
yes.
That's it.
Yeah. Some stickers. So, you know, we're working on that. So, I mean, that makes me hopeful for the site that we're looking at. Like, that turned out really good, better than I could have hoped for.
Yes.
So, yeah, you guys, like, I can't believe it's been a year. Here we were. We were like, well, at least we know our moms will listen.
Yeah.
And
even that, I was a little iffy. No, I'm kidding. I mean, I knew my mom would listen at least to the first one, and then I didn't know after that, so... Yeah, it's super crazy to me. I cannot believe it's been a year. So 51 episodes, we would have had the full, you know, year worth of episodes, but we did, you know, around Christmas. Was that Christmas time that we took a little break? We had some,
well, there have been
just crazy
few times we needed some breaks and stuff like that. It's whatever.
I mean, I still think an episode a week is pretty good. So somehow we've managed to pull it together. Sometimes it's a very last minute pull together, but you know,
let's be honest, a lot of time it's a very last minute.
Okay, it's last minute every week, including this episode, which we are recording and it comes out in what, 12 hours technically, now that I'm looking at my time.
So that's pretty much how we always do it.
Yeah,
there have been a few times we've recorded episodes in advance.
Mm-hmm.
Which
by a couple,
yeah,
it was like the first one because we didn't know what we were doing, so we needed that time.
Yeah,
there's been a couple more. I'm kidding, but
well, yeah, but there were times
generally
where we each had vacations coming up, so we're like, okay, we have to record these, which we'll have to do in October too,
and in June. I'll talk about that later, but
we'll
figure it all out, guys. It's gonna
be
fine.
Breaks. We don't know yet. We'll figure it out.
But as of now, we're on episode 51. That's where we're at. So
yeah, but I also feel like I think we're harder on ourselves about like, oh, we have to do this. And I feel like we've had so many people be like, take a break. Like, it's cool. We get it. We'll be here.
Yep.
So we love and appreciate that, you guys. Thank you so much.
Yes. We love this and we love having you guys listen with us. So, and we love all the comments and messages. So keep those coming because we really love those.
Yeah. We do.
I mean, I don't know what else. I don't really have anything else up front here. So
no, because then we talk about books and shows at the end of the hour now. Oh, so
yeah. And we might have to do that. Well, we'll do that, but we can do it very briefly. This is kind of a longer case. Okay. I don't think it'll be like, I mean, longer than an hour episode, guys, but I'm gonna obviously try to get through it as quick as I can without skipping over a bunch, because this is a pretty crazy case. And as you guys know, we're doing the whole Women's History Month, female killers, what have you. So this one is from Omaha. So I was kind of excited for that. It's kind of double dipping because we do go to, well, some of it is Iowa as well. But because we're from Nebraska, I'm just going to say it's a Nebraska case and it's primarily in Nebraska. So
that works.
That being said, you ready for all this?
I am.
I don't know if you'll know this case or not because I remember it, but I did not know all the details that came along.
If
with
you're
it.
Doing the one that we discussed when we discussed.
Oh, did we discuss it? Okay. Yes. Then I am doing that one.
Then
yes.
I do remember it.
Okay. So yeah, we'll just start with where I guess I got a bunch of my information. So there's about 1,000,001 documentaries that you can watch about this. There's tons of articles and there's actually a Lifetime movie that they even made on this like a year ago. I did not watch that because I did not have time, but I That's absolutely fair. Will watch that after this. Now I'm like, yep.
I didn't even know that there were documentaries on it.
There's so many. Like there was a Snapped episode on it. There was a 2020. Those were the two that I watched and got most of my information from as far as like watching things. But then of course all the reputable websites that had all the information about it. So it was very big case. It was all over the news nationwide. So a lot of you might know this case. And like I said, there were those couple episodes that I watched, which we can put those in the show notes if you guys want to check those out. And once you Google the names involved in this case, you could probably find all the things to watch. There's also a book that was written about this called A Tangled Web, and it's written by Leslie Rule, which ironically her mom is Anne Rule for
I was gonna
people
say,
who know
is
who
she
that
related
is.
To Anne Rule?
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, and Anne Rule wrote the book about her friendship with Ted Bundy called The Stranger Beside Me, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't finish my notes typing that out. Isn't it that what it's called?
The Stranger Beside Me.
Okay. Yeah.
And a shit ton of others.
Yes. So many. And so like that one stuck out just because I love, well, I don't love Ted Bundy. That sounds terrible. I that case is fascinating to everyone. Yeah. Everyone knows Ted Bundy. So anyway, there's a book with a lot of information too that I got some of my stuff from. And the author, Leslie Rule, she's actually on the 2020 documentary and talks about it too. So there we go. Okay. So this case, it starts in 2012. So 35-year-old Dave Krupa and his longtime girlfriend of 12 years, her name was Amy Flora, they decided to split up. So they had two children together and they just never got married, but they said they basically were married common law.
I mean,
you
like
know?
Common law marriage.
Yeah. So they weren't, it wasn't like an ugly breakup or anything. They kind of just like decided they weren't meant for each other, kind of just fell out of love. So it was amicable and they split and Amy wanted to return to be closer to her family, which happened to be in Council Bluffs, Iowa. So for those of you that don't know, Council Bluffs is kind of just a suburb really of Omaha. It's on the edge. I don't want to say it's like, you know, but like,
yeah,
there's lots of people that live there that, you know, it's whatever. And it's like a 20-minute drive, I would say, from most parts of Omaha, unless
right,
you're like downtown.
Because, yeah, I mean,
very
you
close.
Just jump on the interstate.
Yeah. So it's not, I mean, I know they're in different states, but like really it's kind of all the same area. So Amy lived there near her family. And then Dave, because he wanted to obviously stay close to his children, he decided to follow them. I don't know where they lived previously, didn't really mention it, but they ended up back here and Dave decided to move to Omaha. Just so he could stay close to them. So he got a job at a mechanic shop in Omaha. And like I said, being new here, he didn't really know anybody. So other than the guys he worked with, he kind of wanted to branch out and make new friends and whatnot. He's single finally for the first time in 12 years. So he does what everyone does these days is online dating, which...
Did he jump on Tinder?
Yeah, right. That was probably when Tinder was really hot too, right? 2012?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know what website he was on, but he was online dating and he was not looking for anything serious. He really just wanted to meet women and explore sexual relationships. And that's how he puts it on the documentary. I mean, at least he's honest. He's upfront, not trying to fake the
funk. As long as you're open and upfront about what you want, like, don't try to play like, I just want a fuck buddy.
Right.
Cool. Be open. There are women who want that too. But don't be trying to be like, oh, maybe we'll see where it goes. No, no.
Yeah.
Just be upfront.
And he was. So I was like, you know what? Good on him.
Right.
Good job, Dave. So he meets Liz Goyer. Well, her name is actually Shanna Liz Goyer, but she went by her middle name, Liz. So I will refer to her as Liz. But online, you might find her name under Shanna. So she was 37. She had two kids that were actually pretty close to the same age as Dave's kids. So they had that in common. She had her own house cleaning business and she loved taking selfies, which I had to add that just because there was a lot about that and how she did that a lot. So, you know, give you a little feel for her.
You know.
Yeah, it is what it is. So they hit it off and they met at a coffee shop for their first, I guess you could call it a date, even though it wasn't really, I mean, getting to know each other, we'll say. Like we said before, Dave was super upfront, told her he was not looking for anything serious, did not want a commitment. He was just looking to have fun. She was actually on the same page. So it worked out well. They were basically just having a good time and they hung out for a few months. And after that, the situation had kind of just run its course. So they both had been talking to other people that they had met online as well. And they just grew apart. It wasn't like an ugly thing by any means, because they both were like, it's fine. You know, that was fun. Call it what it is and move on. So from the time that he had met Liz until now, it had been about 6 months or so. So in October of 2012, Dave was at work one day and a woman came in to bring her car in to get worked on. This was 38-year-old Carrie Farber. So she came in and he said there was just an instant spark between them. He was attracted to her and they just had good chemistry. So Carrie was a single mom. She had a 14-year-old son named Max. She was from, is it Macedonia? Iowa. I'm going to go with that. Okay.
Yeah.
She was so smart. She had a computer science degree and she was working at this big firm in Omaha as a computer programmer. They said that she was like, without being like tested and called a genius, she was like, she was a genius. Her IQ was 160. So
holy shit.
Yeah. Like smart and pretty, just, you know, and a good person. So she really just like, she loved living life and loved to have fun. They said she was always just down to drink beer and take shots, whatever, you know, living life to the fullest. Her smile and laugh were contagious and her son Max was her whole world. So even though she liked to go out and have fun, she was mostly concerned with just being a mom to Max and being there for him. So she never missed any of his events that he had going on. And because of that, she knew that she didn't really have time for a relationship because, you know, single mom life, if you know, you know. I know. I get it. I have no time for anything. My kids' social life pretty much runs my life. And that's how that goes. So she was in that position as well, where she knew she couldn't commit to anything, but she still wanted to have fun. So they met, or after they, you know, kind of hit it off, I guess I should say, when they met there, they ended up deciding to meet at Applebee's. Applebee's on a date night. That's all I can think of is that stupid song, and I'm going to have that in my head. So they just went and had a few drinks and chatted, and it just went really well. Dave had said that she wasn't his normal type, but there was something between them, so he wanted to keep hanging out with her. And he was upfront, though, with her as well about not wanting anything serious. And she said how busy she was with her son. And so she also was not looking for anything serious, which worked out because that's what Dave wanted. They were clear up front, and I'm sorry, but he kind of loved that because most guys would enjoy a situation with no strings attached.
Listen, it's a guy's dream. Two consenting adults, you guys do what you want. You know?
Not whatever. He just hit the jackpot there. So, I mean, this was only really a couple weeks of them hanging out, but Carrie was also aware of his, I guess you could call her his ex, Liz Goyer. Yeah. I don't know that she was necessarily his ex because they were kind of just hanging out. Lover. But like, yeah. And he had talked about her and how they were still friends. And Carrie was like, okay, cool. Don't care. Was not jealous on any, you know, by any means. She just knew that they still had a friendship, but they weren't serious. So
see, this
it didn't
is a
matter.
Woman who's like, listen, I got my shit together. I know what I'm doing. I don't need a man. You can scratch that itch every now and then. Yeah. But that's all I need you for. Okay.
Right. Like, no, not, no issue there. She doesn't care. She knows. Yeah. She could probably get any guy she really wanted. I mean, with the whole package right there.
Yeah.
And Dave, super nice guy. Like, yeah, nothing wrong with Dave. No. And so they were, it was whatever. So on that note, then Liz, I guess, had left a bunch of stuff at Dave's apartment in the past, and she had come to his apartment to collect her stuff that was there, and Carrie happened to be there. She was staying at his house a lot because I guess she worked like right next to where his apartment was, and so sometimes it was just easier. So he had already left for work, I guess. So Carrie had like let her in, and she got her stuff. Nothing really. I mean, it was a very quick interaction. Yeah. Later, Liz claims, though, that Carrie did call her a bitch when she was there. I'm like, yeah, okay. Really? Like 37-year-olds and however. Like, I guess I am 37. But I don't foresee that situation where that would happen.
Not if everyone is like, I don't care. We're not anything but like friends who sleep together.
Right. So that was kind of an odd thing. But that was really the only time they ever even met each other. You could say that they met. I don't know.
Yeah.
But after this little interaction, and that was mentioned, Carrie, well, according to Dave, Carrie began to act just very bizarre and kind of weird, like not the super chill, easygoing, happy Carrie. Like, for example, he was at work and he got a text from her saying, let's move in together. He was like, WTF here? What is happening?
Like, has he even met her son, this woman who cares so much
right,
about her child?
Right, that they decided to not be serious. Yeah. And it's been 2 weeks, mind you, that they've been hanging out.
Yeah.
So when I say I do that, she stayed over a lot. Like, I guess in 2 weeks' time, she stayed over a lot.
I mean, yeah, but that's like the fun time.
Still.
Okay, this is still fun and new. And
yeah, so it's not serious, clearly, at this point. So that was weird. So he was like, no, hard pass. And she responded back and said, fine, fuck you. Leave me alone, you piece of trash. So he's like, what? Like, okay, what just happened there? You know, probably thought like, man, too good to be true. You know,
right.
Girls say they don't want a commitment, but they want one, blah, whatever.
Yeah.
So he was just like disappointed because he was like, okay, I kind of liked her. This sucks. So he, you know, responded and was like, hey, I thought we were just having fun. This isn't supposed to be a serious thing. But after that, she just continued to text him horrible, degrading things. So over the next, I don't know, long span of time, but these messages continue coming. So Dave was getting over 1,000 messages a day between texts and emails. Every single message was, you know, basically just degrading and calling him names.
I remember the headlines talking about like woman sent thousands of text messages daily. Cause that's, yeah. I remember catching mine. I was like, what the hell?
Yeah.
How is that even possible?
He said that like his phone wasn't even usable because, you know, when you're getting ready to do something and it's vibrating, like you can't get, it goes back to that every time. He's like, I just left my phone and did something else because I couldn't even use it. I mean, and he even changed his numbers like multiple times and she somehow would get his number and this would continue. Same with emails. So it just kept getting worse and worse, very vulgar, very mean. And then they even started getting very like threatening. So she would send him pictures of his apartment complex and say she was watching him. One text even said, my favorite thing to do is watch you through your window.
Creepy.
Like, wow. Yeah.
And this is why I don't like to leave my curtains open once it starts to get dark.
Thank you. Oh my gosh. Yes. My daughter thinks I'm always weird. I'm like, oh my gosh, shut the curtain. You know, don't turn the light on. Like, the curtain's open. She's like, what? I'm like, no, no. Yeah. It blows my mind how people that keep their curtains like closed during the day and then at night they're wide open, lights on. And it's like, no, you don't
there
know.
There are people in my neighborhood that I don't think even have curtains on their giant big windows looking into the house. And like, I'll drive by it like when I'm going to work out sometimes at 4 a.m. or late at night coming home from work. I'm like, why are your windows, like, why don't you have curtains closed? I can see what you're watching on your TV. I now know you have a giant ass TV.
Yes. It's very disturbing. I remember house sitting one time for one of my friends' parents or something. I can't remember the whole situation, but I remember they're like, okay, you know, you can stay in this room. So I'm in that room by myself. And like, they lived out in this really nice neighborhood, huge windows, no curtains, and their back like patio. They had a balcony with stairs that went right up to a door that led to that bedroom with nothing. It was all glass. And I just like would picture myself turning over in the night, looking at this window and having someone standing there. And I was like, I'm never doing this again at this house.
Get that. I don't get that at all. Like, even if you live in the country, like, that's
even worse almost, I feel like.
Because, like, like, there's just someone crouching out in them woods or the fields or something that you can't see. No, I don't understand it at all.
No, I think about Scream, like, the first scene of the first movie of Scream when it's out in the country, they're creeping around, lights are turning off and on. No, thank you.
No.
So, I don't know why he hadn't gone to the police yet at this point, but he said he had, I mean, also being, you know, a guy at that age thinking just like a jealous ex-girlfriend or whatever, like, you're probably like, it's going to stop. Just ignore her. It'll stop. So
I don't know. I think after the first number change, if she then somehow gets your number. Yeah.
Well, and after saying that, like, she's watching you. No. So just weird. So then she even starts sending him messages about Liz, the ex-girlfriend. So she was calling her a whore, a slut. I mean, you name it, she called her it. She said that Liz had taken him from her and she hoped that they would die. So this is when Dave's like, okay, now, like, I'm going to the police, because now she's involving someone else and it's getting really scary. So
yeah, that's horrifying. He's like,
yeah, I mean, and so whatever. So he finally goes to the police. So I guess this is before he's gone to the police. He decides he's going to the police. But before then, cops actually show up to see him. So on November 21st of 2012, Dave's at work and the police show up. They ask him about Carrie Farver. They said they were looking for her, that her mom had filed a missing persons report because she hadn't been able to reach her. And he wondered if she knew, or he knew anything about Carrie, because he knew that they, you know, had been hanging out or whatever. And he's
real
like,
quick.
Well, yeah.
So he hasn't seen her since that day he left and Liz came over.
Correct.
I just wanted to verify that.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Which is odd as well. So I don't know. And there might be more about it that they left out, because this case is very complicated and there's a lot of twisting and stuff that maybe there's more there. Maybe he had, but not from what I found. And so, yeah. So he tells the police, well, actually, it's ironic you come here, because I was about to come to you guys because she's harassing me. So he shows them his phone and a lot of the messages. And he tells them that he was like so confused because she had not been acting erratic or anything like that prior, like when they were still dating, up until he hadn't seen her. And then she was sending all these crazy messages. So he was like, you know what? If she's like this, I think I dodged a bullet. Like, she sounds she's crazy. So, wow. So Carrie obviously was still texting him, but she was also texting her mother. So her mother, Nancy, she was super close with her. She sent her mom a text and said she was moving to Kansas and wanted to start over. Nancy immediately is like, what? And she's concerned because she knows
she would have Carrie, known if
she knows how close she is with her son. She would never just abandon him. And that just was out of character for her. So she was concerned. And so that's why she filed the missing persons report. So
is her mom in town?
She's in Council Bluffs, I believe.
Okay. And so Carrie's X, the father of her son, is he still in the picture?
No, I don't think so. Well, I was actually going to put some of that in there, but I was like, I don't know if we need the backstory or not, which I guess that probably in this case. It just said that she got pregnant when she was 22 and raised her son by herself. So it never actually mentions him.
So like when she talked about going to Kansas, did she want her mom to take the son?
Yeah. I mean, and he's 14. So like, I mean, he's pretty self-sufficient in the fact that, I mean, he can care for himself, but he can't live by himself. We all right. know. So I think that that was her saying like, yeah, just take care of him. It's fine.
Okay.
Which is all just bizarre. But then, you right. know, her mom does share that Carrie was actually diagnosed as being bipolar when she was in her 20s. And depression as well. So her mom said that occasionally, like when she was super depressed and low, you know, she would just go a long period of time without talking to anyone. And they knew that was kind of normal. That's just how she operated. But she would always bounce back and reach out. She also hated taking the meds that they had given her for the treating the bipolar. So she would occasionally just stop taking them, which is also not good. She said they made her just feel numb and she hated having no feelings at all. So they thought, you know, maybe she really stopped taking the meds and just left. So that's kind of their whole thought well, right now.
I know. Which, I had a friend who was bipolar and she said the same thing about her meds. She's like, I felt like a zombie. She's like, I missed out mm-hmm. on like years of my child's life because of how numb they made me feel. Like that's a hard one. I yeah. feel like to treat and to find the right oh, yeah. medication combo and stuff. So like, that's so tough.
Yeah. I remember watching Shameless. I don't know if, did you ever watch Shameless?
Yeah. The first several seasons.
So like, I can't think of what the character's name is. The one kid, you know, he gets diagnosed with that and it's a very interesting oh, yes, to watch it because one. He, I mean, does go in these spirals and he hates the meds too. And it's like, so it was very eye opening to see them, how they displayed that because yeah. it's like, you think, you know, but then when you see, I mean, and obviously that was a TV show, but still, I think he was a wonderful actor because you could kind of get the feel of like how, like what they go through and in their mind. And like, yeah, yeah. he would just sleep for days and not talk to anybody. And so I mean, that's kind of what I think they're all assuming at this point, especially with like their erratic behavior. So yeah. That's kind of where they're at with that. But Carrie's still texting. So she actually sends her mom a picture of like a check that was written out to her. So she said someone had bought her furniture at her house and her mom needed to let them in to collect it. So very bizarre. The name that was signed on the check was Liz Goyer. So this is where it all gets tied up, like a little ironic. So the police show up at Liz's house. She's like, what? I did not buy any furniture. So they're really confused. And now they're like concerned for her safety because why is there a check with her name on it that she did not write? And once they, you know, explain that this was, you know, Carrie Farver, she recognizes the name and they make the connection that they have Dave Krupa in common. So they're like, okay, so we're looking for Carrie and this was a case of harassment and child abandonment. And now it's a missing persons case. So
because they all talked to her son, like when's the last time he's seen her?
Right. They don't really talk about that too much. They mention it later, but I think, I mean, he was probably obviously staying with the grandma at this point too. And so, I mean, I'm guessing if she's texting the grandma that he's just hearing from her. I don't know. They don't really mention if she talked to him or not. Maybe she did, but I guess it was nothing.
But I'm just wondering like the last time he physically saw her.
Yeah. I don't know. They don't ever actually say, which is weird too, because being that she was the primary parent, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah. So once they figured this all out, now they're worried about Liz because they're like, okay, maybe Carrie is targeting Liz because of this whole, you know, the check and her name and she's connected to Dave. It's freaking weird. So, and of course, right after that all happens, Liz starts getting threatening messages from Carrie as well. So Carrie's harassing her. She's actually sending her pictures of her kids. So pictures of Liz's kids to her and saying that she was watching her and her kids. So this becomes, you know, concerning, obviously.
Well, and I'm like just trying not to like say more because I know.
It's very interesting how it all comes about because it's very crazy. So Dave and Liz reunite because of this. I mean, they have this in common now. They're both being harassed by the same woman and they kind of bond over it and they start referring to her as Crazy Carrie. So they're trying to just kind of make light of it, but at least they have each other. So they kind of like get back together, I guess you could say. They hang out a lot. Like they're pretty much together. Yeah. Yeah. So Carrie continues to harass both of them. There'd be lots of times where they would be like watching a movie together and their phones would go off like within minutes of each other. And they were messages from Carrie. And it was just creepy and weird. Like she would know that they were together and they had no idea what to do. So while all of this is happening, the police are still trying to find Carrie. So, you know, they're looking online because that's what you do these days. And they find that she had several different like Facebook accounts and different phone numbers that were registered under her name, but they were having a really hard time tracking them down for whatever reason. She had set them up under weird, I don't know. Like she obviously knew how to hide like an IP address and all of that. So it's just like a struggle at this point. And then let's see. So now on January 10th of 2013, Dave comes home one day and as he's parking his car and gets out, he sees Carrie's Ford Explorer parked about 50 feet from the main door of his apartment. He calls the police immediately and they come take it in. They said that her car was in pristine condition. It had been deep cleaned and they were unable to recover any kind of evidence from it. Plus, they don't really know what they're looking for at this point. They don't have any suspicion of foul play or any of that. The only thing they really found was a fingerprint that was on a mint container, like in her, you know, that the thing, the middle thing. Yeah. And that fingerprint did not match Carrie's, but it also had zero hits in their system. So they really have nothing to go off of. So things continue. A few months later, things actually escalate. Liz was freaking out because she was sure that Carrie was stalking her. Her house and her car had been vandalized. And like one day she came home and someone had spray painted on her garage, "whore" from Dave. Also, Dave's job one morning, he went to work and on the side of the building, it said Dave beats women with spray paint. So like, it's getting a bit much, you know, and when they talk to him, he's like, yeah, not only was it scary, but like, this is my job. Like, you know, my livelihood, I have kids, like, wow. And so it was just getting scary. Nebraska is a no-fault
state. They could have just decided, this is getting a bit much. Liability for us. So you got to go.
So it's just, it's weird. And, you know, they still get messages, but now Dave's getting messages from Carrie about Liz. So she's saying to Dave, "Liz is a fat cow that looks like a lost puppy. She should do herself a favor and kill herself. LOL." Like that kind of stuff. Just creepy and just evil. So then she would text Liz things like I have some of these noted just because they were so insane. So she said to Liz, "If you don't keep your hands and lips off my man, I'll hurt you." Another one to Dave said, "I hate you so much. I will drive a knife into your heart." That's enough where I'd be like, okay, I want an officer outside my building, surveillance nonstop. But yeah, so she had even said things to Dave about watching him, like I had mentioned before. And one time she said she saw him sitting on his recliner with his feet up in a blue shirt, which was all true. He was like so creeped out because he said he got that text as he looked at himself sitting in a recliner wearing a blue shirt with his feet up. Just creepy. So this keeps, you know, this has been almost a year now. Well, I guess it has been a year because on August 17th of 2013, around 12:30 a.m., Dave gets an email from Carrie saying she's going to burn down Liz's house and she hopes that Liz and her kids are inside when she does it. So Dave calls police and heads to Liz's house. As he gets there, he sees several fire trucks in a large fire. So Liz had gotten out of the fire. Her kids, thankfully, were not home. So she was out in time. I mean, but it ruined everything, and all of her pets died. She had a dog, a snake, which I'm not sad about that one, but
I'm still sad about
that. I mean,
that.
Still, and two cats, like, just terrible. So police do and determine that this is arson, and they find accelerants like all over the house. So, like, this is getting a bit much. And but after this, things kind of like slow down with the harassment. She's still doing it, but she's gone down to like twice a day. So, okay. But still, like, I don't understand how they can't trace anything from her at this point. Like, it's very bizarre to me, which I'm sure they don't give all information, but like.
Like, are we not pinging the cell phone?
Yeah, I don't get it. But I think she's texting from different numbers too, but I don't know, because they said that she had different numbers and phones and accounts under her name. I'm not sure what that all entails.
I don't know. Couldn't they try to ping?
Right. Because this is 2013. Like, yeah, that was definitely a thing. So, okay. Then, you know, like I said, she was doing it like twice a day. Then it just like stops kind of altogether. It stops for a while. So they're like, okay. So at this point, I guess it's been 10 months since Carrie has actually been seen. So yeah, we're going on a year. Her family and friends and son are super worried still, especially because now, like, she had missed several big events, which was not like her. She missed her brother's wedding, and she even missed her own father's funeral. And she sent a text to her mom that just said, "Sorry, I missed the funeral." Her mom replied that she would only believe it was her if she called her and she could hear her voice, which Carrie never responded to. She would just text her mom and tell her that she was a bad mom and she was a controlling mom, which was weird too, because they were really close. And so Nancy was super worried, because
also manic episodes don't last 10 months.
Right. Right. Like, at this point, if anything, you think it would go the opposite way, you know? And, like, it did stop, but to be acting like this towards her mom, you know, and her mom.
Such a long time still for it to mm-hmm. have been going.
Agreed. I feel like in knowing everything about her and how intelligent she is, like, that's the only thing that would make me think, like, well, she is really smart, so she would know how to do different things with a computer, you know, like, that mm-hmm. part of it. But, okay. So her mom was like really worried. It was sad because she even talked about how she had gone, you know, to Carrie's house and all of her winter clothes were there in her coats. And she was worried because it was winter. And she said, you know, wherever she's at, she's probably really cold. And I thought that was so sad. I thought, despite all the things she's saying but like, a mom just knows when something's off, you know?
I feel like, you know, like, how your child, because the thing is like, Carrie was what, 37, 38?
Mm-hmm.
Her mom would have dealt with some of those episodes and known how she is in her highs and her lows with her bipolar. So even then, she's going to know when something is off.
Something's
off.
Daughter's
talking to her.
Hey, Dark Hearts. We wanted to tell you about one of our favorite products that helps keep you safe and also gives you peace of mind.
She's Birdie is a cool little device that is small enough you can hook it on a keychain, bag, or even just carry it.
There are two different types of birdies. The original birdie, when activated, chirps very loud. Trust me, it's ear piercing. We've tried it. And also has an intense strobe light that helps deter attackers and gets the attention of potential bystanders.
The She's Birdie Plus is a Bluetooth-enabled device that connects to an app on your phone that gives you 24/7 support where live reps are available. It can also send you a faint call to get out of an uncomfortable situation, as well as provide GPS location to your chosen contacts. This birdie does require a subscription you can either pay monthly or annually.
The best part is you can get 15% off your order when you use the code DARKHEARTS15.
Check out shesbirdie.com to see what fun colors and patterns you can purchase.
Stay Heartland kind and be extra Darkland wary with your new birdie. Yeah, and missing those events, like when she's that close with her family, she missed her son's graduation also, which is a red flag. Nancy said, though, that she actually, one night she had a dream that Dennis, who was Carrie's dad, after he had passed away, that he came to Nancy in her dream and he said, "It's okay, she's with me." And she said that was like really comforting, but she still didn't want to give up hope. And I just like, ooh, that gave me goosebumps when I just
read that. I literally just got goosebumps. Especially because I know.
Yeah, like it's just crazy. It's like... Yeah. So poor Nancy too was so distraught. She felt like the cops were not really helping. They didn't seem to care. She felt like no one really believed her, and they all just thought like, oh, she'll come back on her own, you know.
Well, and her poor son.
I know. Awful. So they would even get their hopes up a lot because they would get calls that Carrie was found at like a homeless shelter or spotted somewhere, and they would go there and it was never her. And Carrie was texting her best friend, Amy, even saying like she had made a big mistake. She wanted to come home. And Amy said, you know, they would text and then they would make plans to meet up, and then Carrie would just never show up. So Max, I know you had kind of mentioned him earlier. So he was missing his mom so much. So he actually messaged her on Facebook, and all he said was hi. And she responded back and said, hi, little man. He said, answer these three questions to prove that it's you. He asked her what his middle name was, what was the name of their first dog that was a boxer, and who his childhood best friend was. She didn't answer any of the questions and just said she doesn't need to prove herself to anyone.
Well, so, that's a good way to prove you're not who you say you are.
Right. Correct. So messed up. So police even show Carrie's family some of these texts that Dave and Liz had been receiving. And her family was shocked and was like, okay, she does not text like that. She doesn't talk like that. And as they all know, we know she was very intelligent. So there wouldn't be these spelling and grammatical errors. I mean, yeah, I get it. Sometimes we're texting fast, but like that many of them. And especially when you know the way a person normally texts. Like, right. I'm all about, I do a lot of emojis. I'm an exclamation mark person. Like, if I'm not doing that, you know something's wrong. Right. So, you know. And now, I know I said earlier how it'd been a year. So now it's actually been 2 years of Carrie missing. So 2 years of hell for her family and for Dave and Liz, because they're, you know, still being harassed here and there. But in this whole 2 years of time, too, no activity in her bank account had happened at all, which was odd for an adult. If you're running away somewhere, you are using money at some point.
Are you paying for these cell phones?
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm like, that's odd. So that's kind of where they're at. So then in May of 2015, these amazing detectives in Omaha, I think, were they Omaha? Maybe they were Council Bluffs. I think they're Omaha. I should have wrote that down. But Ryan Avis and Travis Doty. So they are coming into this case and they decide that they want to kind of look into it. It's a cold case at this point. So they start analyzing things, and these guys are amazing. I mean, even just listening to them talk on the documentaries, like the way that they thought and the way they handled this was like incredible. And it's unfortunate that this did not happen much sooner on to avoid a lot of the stuff that happened. And Anthony Cava, he was like an IT guy who really ends up kind of cracking the case. So they all think something happened to Carrie. They're like, you know, one of us is going to play it that she's alive, and we're going to try to prove that she's alive. The other one is going to try to prove that she's dead, and we're going to see what we can figure out, because something happened. Something is off. So they're looking into it, and they reopen this case, and, you know, they talk to everyone involved. They talk to Liz, and Liz is willing to give them her phone. She's like, you know, look at all these texts, see if you can figure out anything. So they take her phone. They analyze everything they can on her phone, but they find it kind of odd because they see Liz had actually called Carrie 6 times back a few years ago, and she had *67'd before her calls, which means hide her number. Hide for those it. Of you yep. who don't remember. I think that's yep. still a thing, I think. Maybe? I don't know. I
have no idea.
Back in the day when you, like, wanted to prank call someone, that's what you would do. But
I didn't know you could do it with cell phones, I guess. I remember landlines.
I guess. So they see that, but they're like, that's weird, because if she didn't really know her, like, why did she call her? They also found an interesting picture. So I didn't put this in there earlier because I was just going to kind of briefly mention it now. While they were being harassed by Carrie, Carrie had actually sent a picture to Dave at one point of Liz, like, tied up in a trunk. And she said, I have Liz in my trunk and I'm going to kill her. And then, like, he immediately called Liz when he got that. And she was like, no, like, I'm at home. So they're like, oh my gosh, this lady is crazy. Like, he couldn't really see that it was her.
But okay. I was like,
it was just like an image. Like, you couldn't tell if it was Liz or not. So they're like, okay, that's weird. So now when the police are looking through her phone, they actually find that photo of her tied up on the phone. And like, you can see clearly there's like a couple of them. And one of them, like, you can see her face. So like, it looked like she had taken a picture of herself tied up. It was bizarre. And then there was a picture of Carrie's car. And the picture of the car was dated a whole month before the car had been returned. Yeah, back to the apartment complex.
Interesting.
Yeah. So they don't mention any of that yet, because that's, I mean, just a little bit. You don't really have a lot to go on when you have that. So then on December 4th of 2015, Liz shows up at the police station and says she wants to file a harassment report. So she says that Dave's ex, Amy Flora, the one whom he shared children with,
right?
She said that she's harassing her and stalking her. She said that she was getting very similar messages from Amy that she had gotten from Carrie. So Liz now is suggesting that she thinks that maybe Amy had something to do with the Carrie situation all along, and she might be the one responsible. And so she's like, you know, she's super obsessed with Dave. And so that would make sense if she's stalking me and harassing me because she wants to get back with Dave. So she says, here are all my messages I have from her. You know, you can take them. So that was an odd turn in the case. So then the next day, which December 5th of 2015, around 6:30 p.m., a 911 call comes in from a woman who is screaming that she had been shot in the leg while she was out for a walk. She was in Council Bluffs. This was like, they said, I don't know, North Park somewhere. And it turns out that this caller is actually Liz Goyer. So she said that she was out for a walk and a female came up behind her, asked her how she liked fucking Dave, and then shot her in her thigh and fled. So the call, you can,
people can tell if it's a self-inflicted gunshot wound.
Right. Like, she's just, I mean, we're not working with the brightest crayon here to begin with, but like, wow, which we'll discuss that more. But
yeah,
she's screaming, she's bawling. There is a ton of blood at the scene. You know, they get there and they said she was actually losing consciousness when they got there. But, you know, they rush her in, they do surgery on her and they're able to stabilize her. So she's okay. But now they're like, okay, you know, she just put this report in that she's being harassed and stalked by Amy. And then she gets shot the next day. Maybe we should go talk to Amy. So they go talk to Amy. Amy's like, what the hell are you talking about? I was here all day, all night. And even her neighbors, or her kids were there. And her neighbors even say like, yeah, she hasn't left all day. Her car has been in that same spot all day. So they're not even like really entertaining this idea. So they're like, well, if it wasn't Amy, then who was it? So they still don't know with this Carrie thing, if she's alive or dead. So they're just like trying to figure out. It's like so many moving parts at this point that like, where do you even begin? So they continue investigating all these accounts that were made online and they look into them a little deeper than the previous investigators had back then because they seem to not really take it too serious. Right. But now that it's been this much time and like it's getting really like violent and just kind of scary, they're looking and they actually stumble across a YouTube video with Carrie's name on it, like her account. And this video clip is like a little just short video showing Dave's like apartment complex. That's all it is. But this is the first thing that they actually find that has a real IP address. So from this, they are actually able to trace it back to Liz.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, they did.
They, because of that, then they're able to dig deeper into these other accounts of Carrie basically being impersonated, and they all trace back to Liz. So also, after Liz was shot, Dave discovers the gun that he had actually purchased back when all the stalking stuff had really gotten bad. He bought a gun because he was scared. So once he hears Liz's shot, he checks his gun and it's actually missing from his house. So they don't go into a lot of detail on all that, but yes, they are able to determine that Liz had actually shot herself. Shocking. Especially in your leg. Like, that's a very
Because you can tell
specific angle that you would have to shoot. Yes.
Like the distance, because it's not like you can hold the gun super far away from yourself.
Right.
Or low enough.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was, you know, interesting. They still don't lead on to her because it's all circumstantial. And they, just because she did that doesn't necessarily prove that she did anything to Carrie. Yeah, stalking is a crime in all 50 states. But, yeah. So then on December 14th of 2015, the police bring Liz into the station to talk to her. So they already kind of have a plan that they want to see if she will give any information and incriminate herself. So, you know, police can use tactics, and yes, they can lie. I mean, police for people that think that they can't, yes, they can. Yes. So they bring her in and they tell her that they found remains, human remains. And indeed they had not, but they wanted to kind of just see what she would say about that. So, you know, then they say something about it might be Carrie, and she just keeps saying she doesn't know Carrie at all. She met her one time, and they should really be talking to Amy because Amy was with Dave for 12 years. So she's probably obsessed and she probably has something to do with all this. So she just keeps kind of going on about that. So, that doesn't really go anywhere. But then after she leaves, they tell her that, you know, we've got to figure this out. So if you know anything, if you talk to Amy, if you get anything from her, send it on. So shortly after she's gone, she speaks with the police and says that she actually has emails from Amy admitting that she had shot Liz because she wanted her away from Dave. So you can hear the conversation on this 2020, and, you know, they're like, well, so she said she shot you, and she's like, yeah, why aren't you arresting her? You know, and they say, well, we need to get a little bit more. They say, push her to see if she'll confess about Carrie. We need to know, did she kill Carrie? And so they kept saying, just push her to see. And Liz is like, you want me to ask her if she killed her? And they said, yeah, you know. So she says, fine, I guess I'll help. So ironically, shortly after this, she says that she has an email where Amy confessed everything about Carrie's murder. Dumb, dumb woman. These emails were fairly graphic and detailed. The email said that she, Amy, had come over to Dave's apartment after he had left for work and found Carrie there. She said that she got in Carrie's car with her, and that's when she stabbed her in the stomach and the chest multiple times. She said Jesus. She burned her body and disposed of it in a dumpster. She then cleaned the car and returned it to Dave's apartment complex. So, okay. Well, that was a little easier than they expected.
Who's going to know how to clean a car that well?
Right.
A woman who has a cleaning business.
Yes. Which ironically, they never talk about later on, ever. And I thought that too. And I'm like, well, they mentioned that she has a house cleaning business. And ding, ding. So based off that, they still don't have enough to really, like, you know, arrest her. So
fingerprint from the mint.
So they had never run the prints on any of the other people, which I don't know why they didn't back then.
Right.
The police just kind of, I don't know. I feel like they really dropped the ball there. But
yeah.
So they go back to this car to check for this evidence now that, you know, this email claims that this is where the crime scene actually was. And apparently they didn't even have this car anymore because it had been, like, cleared. So it had actually gone through a couple owners since.
Because they probably auctioned it off then.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and they had done a detailed inspection of it. I mean, based off what they were looking for, they
right.
had no idea that there was any foul play. At that point, they were looking for a missing woman that was harassing someone. So, they get this car back and they take the fabric off the driver's seat completely and they don't find anything. So they pulled the fabric off the passenger seat and guess what? They find a big blood stain. This blood stain tests positive to match Carrie Farber. Wow. So now they, because they knew what they were looking for, they, like, I immediately was like, why the hell didn't you do that in the first place? Which I don't know, but maybe their search warrant, they could only do so much with it.
I mean, I guess.
I don't know. But if they just found it, they didn't really have to get a warrant for it, did they?
I would.
If she was missing
so.
And it was her vehicle.
Not if, like, she's missing and she's right. harassing people. If anything, I would think they could be like,
game.
To her mom, like, hey, can we search her car?
Yes. And they're missing her. Like, yeah, please do. But like, yeah. I guess, cause I was like, why wouldn't they have checked that? But I guess if they don't, I don't know. I still feel like they should have, even if they didn't suspect foul play.
Even if you don't know, like, let's search for any case scenario, you know, like, yes. Maybe she's missing. Maybe there's clues. Maybe there is foul play.
Yep.
And we don't know, like, search all the things.
I know. It's just like, yeah, I did not understand that, but I was like, okay, cool. Now they know, that, you know, they have that. So they actually bring Liz back in, and they bring her in on the assumption of, well, she did have a warrant for, like, it was some stupid, like, unpaid ticket, parking ticket, yeah. Something like dumb. So she thinks she's coming in because of like that. But then once she's there, they let her know too, that the fingerprint on that mint container actually matched hers. So this was extremely hard because they still don't have a body. They don't have a weapon. They only have the circumstantial evidence. So they can't hold her on that because they, you know, in the videos of her, she's just so whiny and I didn't know her, you know, it just goes off and you're like, you are so dumb and you know, you just got caught. But it's crazy. So they can't hold her, but because of that, then they're like in fear that if she's willing to shoot herself, kill her own pets, mind you, and do all this other stuff, what is she going to do to Amy and Dave? So they immediately warn them that they are in serious danger. So Dave like moves in with Amy to protect, you know, themselves, their kids. And because, you know, this obviously pisses Liz off a lot.
Oh, of course.
So she calls the police and she's bawling and screaming on her call. And she's like, this is bullshit. She admitted to killing her and she shot me. And she's just, they're living together and you haven't even arrested her. And she's just freaking out. Like she's losing her shit, you know? And so it's just, it's crazy. So she still doesn't really know that they're, I mean, she knows they're onto her, but she doesn't think that they necessarily think that she has done everything that she has done.
Right.
So that's where they're at. So as they continue to investigate this too, they find that Liz was using an app on her phone that allows her to send messages by scheduling them.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be why her and Dave were getting messages at the same time. So when they first told Dave that they thought all of this was Liz, he was like, there's no way. Like, we were getting messages same time from Carrie. We weren't on our phones. He was just like, really said he was so thrown off by that because he said there was no way. And like, who would actually go that far to do something like this?
Someone who's a few marbles short of a full pack.
Mm-hmm. So it all's kind of tying together. So they finally arrest Liz because they have enough apparently to hold her on it from that now.
Right.
So she still denies this and she's just hysterical that they have the wrong person. So this is in the spring of 2017. So now it's been 5 years since this nightmare began. So while she's awaiting trial, the police are really working on building a case against her. They're basically using the motive that she was jealous of Carrie being involved with Dave. So she killed her and stole her identity to pretend that Carrie was stalking Dave and herself. That led to her and Dave getting closer, and it led to him hating her and taking the attention away from her, she thought. But I feel like there's so many things that she really was going to keep up this act. So many things she did that were stupid that she shouldn't have done. And it would have been.
She pushed it too far.
Yes. Like
she could have gotten away with it.
I know. It's like, it's almost like she wanted to get caught because of the things she was doing.
It's almost like though that she liked the attention and she knew that if it stopped, eventually her and Dave wouldn't be a thing. Cause this was probably, like I said, it was a trauma bond.
Yep.
So they probably didn't really have a whole lot actually going for them except for this shared thing. And she knew that. So she had to keep it up.
Totally. And on that same line of things, it all lines up. Anytime there was like a low point in Liz and Dave's relationship and something wasn't going good, something just very crazy would happen. Like the fire or the shooting. It all matched up on a timeline when he said they weren't talking or they were having a fight. That's when something like that would happen, something very extreme.
Mm-hmm.
And so that all made sense. So they, of course, you know, get a search warrant for Liz's apartment and they find Carrie's digital camera there. So Liz had also been to her house before because that was not in her car. So it's almost like she did want somewhat of a keepsake. So they're able to tie her with that too, but they still really need something like concrete to use at this trial without a body. They're really desperate at this point. So they even ask Dave, like, is there anything that you can think of that you might have, anything at all that could give us anything? And Dave said he has no idea what even like made him think of this, but he's like, clearly it was a sign because he remembered he had like an old tablet or iPad that was just in a box in storage that had been out there for probably like a year and a half. He's like, I don't know what's even on there. She used it and stuff, you know, so whatever. So they take it and they're able to get the SD card out of there. And they see pictures that this obviously belonged to Liz because there's several selfies, like I mentioned before, of her. There's pictures of her with Dave, tons of stuff like that. And then as they're looking, there's this random photo that was really out of place, which I don't know if Facebook will let me post it. Sometimes you post stuff and they're like, oh, this doesn't follow our guidelines. But yeah. It's a picture of like a foot from almost like the knee down. You can tell it's somewhat decomposed. It's not charred. Huh?
Let's not post that.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's like really blurry and
people can find it.
I mean, yeah, but like it's interesting. The part of it, the reason I want to post it is because you can see this tattoo very visible on her foot. So please, you know, they speak with Carrie's mom again to make sure, you know, what tattoos did she have? And this is like, this kind of gives me goosebumps because she had this Chinese symbol on her foot, which actually the symbol meant mother, which is what she was like most passionate about, was being a mother. So it's like powerful that that was the thing that actually was enough to hold Liz for what she did to her.
Right.
So it was the smoking gun. They had the proof that what they needed. So in May 2017, Liz goes to trial. She waived the jury trial and just had a trial with one judge, which is stupid. I feel like she would have had a better chance with a jury, but maybe not. I guess
she might not have, though. She might have thought that she had a better chance with just one judge as opposed to like
one person to convince instead of 12.
Instead of 12, especially women can go either way. Mothers and stuff. Yeah. You know, yeah.
Yeah. So the defense tried to just use the angle that they didn't have a body, they didn't have a weapon. But that's really all they didn't really have a leg to stand on.
Foot.
On yeah. And by what I mean decomposed, it's not like, it's just a little charred, I guess I should say.
Okay, but like, why did you take a picture of a burned foot?
Right. They think that they're like, she still wanted somewhat of a trophy because that's such a killer thing to do. Or was she
like, I really like this tattoo and I want it? Like,
oh my gosh. I mean, honestly, that wouldn't surprise me because she's so jealous of her too.
Yeah.
I'm surprised she didn't show up with that tattoo one day. Like, yeah, so the judge, obviously this does not work out to her advantage because the judge does not buy any of that. He basically just said what a disgusting human being she was, and he can't believe that anybody would go this far to do something like this. So she's found guilty of first degree murder, and in Nebraska, that's an automatic life sentence with no parole. So she's serving her sentence out at Nebraska Correctional Center for Women. So she still claims that she did not do this, and she said she will not stop fighting to get out of prison and find the real person who did this.
It was clearly you. I'm sorry, did we not get any sort of animal abuse charges, harassment, emotional manipulation? I mean,
I'm sure they could pin on so many more.
Yeah.
I know. And maybe they did, and I don't know, because it's the focus is the murder. Maybe they did down the road, but like, either way, you're going away the rest of your life. I guess you could throw those on there just to twist the knife a little bit more. I would. Because she's disgusting. And because of that, like Dave, they talk to him and they're like, how has this changed your life? You know? And he's like, well,
I don't
trust anybody. Yeah. I'm paranoid as hell, he said. And he said that like, this was just an insane 5 years of his life. And it's a true nightmare. And he cannot believe this even happened. But he did say that these two detectives and the one like IT guy, they were the true heroes because of them reopening this and looking at things that they hadn't previously. This might have still been going on for all we know.
Right.
So he said they were heroes. And Nancy, Carrie's mom, she said she referred to the detectives as her boys. She said, those are my boys that finally helped us get closure. And they never have found her body. However,
I mean, if she really did put her body in a dumpster, that's
right. You're never going to. No. So, yeah, that, you know, and then her mom said that Carrie was not murdered once, but really twice, because not only was she physically murdered, but her character. She said for 5 years, people made it out that she was this monster of a person doing these horrible things. And that was not the case. So they were just happy that they had this closure. The truth was out. And they said they really want people to remember Carrie as the opposite of what Liz made her like. They said Carrie was a beautiful woman, full of life. And ironically, her son, Max, is actually carrying on her legacy by going to school for computer science, which I thought was really awesome. And then the last thing that I was going to just add about her was that actually in a high school interview she had done, she said, Carrie said that she wanted to be known for always having a smile on her face and being a little bit crazy. And I thought that was, I know that, I mean, I could have put in so much more about that case because it is so crazy. So like, I need to watch the Lifetime movie. And
I mean, you know, it's ridiculous and over the top.
Yeah. That's why I want to watch it. And I can't think of what his name is. The guy who plays Dave. He's like one of my favorite. Oh, you would know who he is too. Well, he was on Friday Night Lights, which you might not know that one. And he was Matt Saracen, if anyone knows who I'm talking about on that one. But then he was in Midnight Mass as the son. I want to say like the son that comes back. Yes. I can't think of his name.
Zach Gilford?
Yes. Thank you. There it is. Yes.
Because he played Riley Flynn.
Yes. That's it. Yes.
Midnight Mass.
Yeah. So I need to watch that. But the book, all these TV specials.
Oh, it's just called The Disappearance of Carrie Farber.
Yeah.
Farber.
Just right to the point.
Okay.
Yeah. So that is that case. And I cannot believe that that happened here locally. Like, I don't want to say that Liz was smart because she's not. She's a horrible person. But like to pull that off for that long.
For that long.
Holy shit. Yeah.
But also I think part of it, like she did good in the beginning.
Right.
I think she would have just like so long is because of police not looking into more things. Because my thing is like from the get, like she clearly went missing the day Liz came to get this stuff from the apartment.
Right.
Why did we not think it weird that her son, she didn't show up to work. Liz is the last person to have seen her. Dave had seen her prior. Why was none of this
looked
at in the beginning? Just because there's supposed text messages coming through.
And because she ran away. Right. Because she was bipolar. Like
we've
once again,
seen in several other cases where killers take their victims' phones.
Yes.
And use them to pretend to be them. Like, why wouldn't you have looked at that angle too? Like, hey, it's kind of weird that like the first time she ever meets you, all of a sudden no one ever sees her again and she's just snapped.
I know. Literally snapped. Go watch that episode.
Right.
Cheesy, but you know, I love a good snapped episode.
But I mean, it's like, I feel like this, Liz should not have gotten away with this to the extent that she did. Like,
I know.
Changing
for as long as she did.
Yes. And like, the thing is like, let's be honest, like if you Google enough and stuff, like you can get those things figured out and how to do that. You don't have to be a tech person.
Correct.
You just have to know how to Google.
Right.
Also like, yeah, like why are we not?
Who burns their own house down and kills their own pets?
Yeah.
That pisses me off. I mean, almost more than
all of it, but that was like,
not really, but like, yeah. It's terrible. It's all just very terrible.
Like your animals were collateral damage.
Yeah. And you went to that extent to try to prove that this woman was doing this? Because then I thought like, can't they prove like, okay, well, how did all of this accelerant get inside your house if there's no proof of a break-in? Yeah, I know. Like, I thought all that too and never found the info.
They clearly didn't look into the fire well enough either.
Right.
Like, it's just...
And like... I just don't get it. Like, who does that? And especially because they said they literally just had that one time of interaction. So, like, was she that jealous of her? And also, if she kills her in her car, I don't know what time or date. We don't know any of that stuff because, you know, she's not going to ever admit to anything where we know the truth. But I thought, like, well, there must not be surveillance.
Right.
First of all, in the parking lot. Also, how does nobody see this in a parking lot? Like... you're killing someone inside the car, even if windows were tinted.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I just find that so weird. Where did she go to burn her body? I don't know.
Again, they clearly didn't look into Carrie missing at all, because why didn't they go, she was here at this time, search the surrounding areas for surveillance to finding her car and where it would have gone? Because it's like the See No Evil on IDTV too, where they have the video surveillance. I'm like, you would have seen. I think this is a case of like police seriously dropping the ball in the beginning.
I was just going to say a dropping the ball case.
Yeah.
100%. Because if they would have looked into some of those things or taken it more seriously in the beginning, a lot of this could have been avoided.
Yeah.
I mean, like, think about how many people are traumatized by this. Yeah. Like, my gosh.
Well, and it just gives a whole new meaning to like crazy in love.
And especially for someone who was like so adamant about, she was just wanting to have fun. Mm-hmm. Were you though? Because I know, because that's
the other thing though too, for the other side of it, like when people are like, this is all I want, don't say you're okay with it hoping you're gonna convince them for something more.
Right. Don't lie, you're just gonna make it worse on yourself. Like,
yeah,
I think that's like a lot of women say that because they think like that makes them look like the cool, like, you know, the pick me girl. And it's not.
Don't do that.
No.
Because first of all,
you're not going to change his mind also by doing that. So.
And no one's worth that. Like, if they're upfront and they're like, hey, I don't want a relationship. Right. I just want to fuck. And that's
different strokes for different folks, you know, like.
That's fine.
But like,
you have to be like, cool, that's not for me. Best of luck to you.
Right. And that's why I don't get that, because the fact that they had both kind of moved on, and like he had literally been hanging out with Carrie for 2 weeks. It's not like they were, I mean, serious. They were just having fun. And by her sending that text to him, that very first text that said, we should move in together, I wonder if she was just testing the waters to be like, he was like, yeah, let's. You know, and then was that going to make her more mad that she was going to kill him? I don't know.
I wonder though. I mean, obviously there's jealousy, but I think there's probably got to be jealousy of the fact that Carrie was, which I'm not saying owning a cleaning business isn't successful, but I think clearly we have some internal issues going on where we're like, well, she's this
white collar, like,
and all
this,
and like, this is obviously the one who, if he has the opportunity, he's going to change his mind for, and maybe he would have, but maybe he wouldn't have. And also, she wouldn't have. She was like, I don't want anything serious.
Right.
My son is my focus.
And like, maybe just like have a conversation. I don't know. Maybe don't like kill her.
Maybe.
Like, were they having a conversation and then it just flipped? But like, how did she get in her car with her? Did she just get in quick, or did she say like, hey, let's chat in your car? Like, I don't know.
I feel like there had to have been a threat or something, because the thing is like, if the blood was in the passenger seat, I almost feel like
Carrie
would have had to been in the passenger
seat. Yeah, I agree. So I know. That's what I thought too. I thought that was really odd. So she was sitting there.
Yeah.
But yeah, blood obviously is going to soak through. So even if you get it off that top part, the damage is done.
Right.
And why even bring the car back? Like, light it on fire somewhere. I mean, not that ever works either. And she could probably get traced back to that. But like, I just don't know what, a lot of her thought process does not make sense. Like, she was almost trying too hard to make it work when it was like, it was actually probably easier than you. I mean, you know, she made it way harder. It was easier than it could have been.
This is an instance where she probably could have gotten away with murder.
Mm-hmm. And we're not telling you how.
Right. I'm not telling you how, but
Liz will tell you how.
But if she would have just left shit be, did what she did to clean out the car and left the car somewhere, like, there would have been no trace.
I know.
But then she had to involve herself, and like, she just,
like, the check with the furniture, that was random. No.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I just find that all weird. She just led the police right to her front door.
Yeah.
Unless she was scared it was going to, like, she wanted them to come to her first so she had the upper hand, you know, instead of getting caught off guard. But I mean, none of it's ever going to make sense.
Like, I feel like it was just a way for her to get back with Dave.
Yeah.
I think that's all it was.
And like, Dave is a, I mean, he's a nice guy. He's fine looking, but like, I'm sorry. I don't think I would ever do that for any guy. I don't really care who you are and what you look like. No thanks. That's too much work. Like,
you're a shit mom. You care more about this man than your own children and their pets. Way to put them through all that shit. Because your kids are going through this shit then, thinking this woman's stalking them.
Right.
And their mom and, like, being worried
about that. Yeah, I know. Like, a bunch of kids ended up without parents, like, you know, ultimately. And I think, well, I didn't add it in there because I did have a little bit about, like, Liz's background growing up, but I was kind of like, why even give her that?
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't say she had a rough childhood. She, both of her parents did die when she was young. She was in foster care. She got adopted. And though, I mean, after that, like, she had a very loving family, it sounded like. And then she moved to Omaha to kind of on her own. That's it. So, I mean, you can't even really chalk it up to, like, you know, she had all these issues growing up. And it's like, not really. Like, that sucks that you lost your parents at a young age. But that doesn't mean you can go kill someone. And
That doesn't mean you can make someone else lose their parents at a young age.
Gross.
Yeah.
That's... F you, Liz.
Oh, my goodness.
But she writes letters to this author of that book. Because, well, ABC said they actually tried to, you know, get an interview from her for their special, and she declined. But she writes letters to the author saying, like, I didn't do this, and I need help getting out of here, and wham, wham, wham. Like, gross. Shut up. You're just stupid. Like,
yeah. Nobody cares. Believes you.
Yeah.
Okay, just admit to it now.
Right. Just own up to it and move forward. But yep, that's what I got today. So that was a crazy killer case. And I didn't want to lead on, like, early on that it was Liz, because it's kind of one of those things when you don't know the case, it's like, oh, ball dropped there.
I know. Like, that's where, like, I tried to refrain from making certain remarks and things, because I'm like, but it's fucking Liz.
I know. And so, like, when she says all these things, you know, that she did all this, I'm like, but did you?
Right.
But that's why it's like,
well, and I did make that remark with the check. I'm like, why would you put your fucking name on it? You know what I mean? Like,
because why though? I mean, there's just a lot of things that were wrong with this case. But so I don't know. That I don't, like, I remember it being in the news, but I did not know a lot of the, like, details about it. And so it was kind of interesting finding out some of that stuff. So for those of you who did not know that story, there you go. And next week we'll have another one. Fun one, hopefully. I mean, well, a woman killing someone, I hope.
Yeah, I'm still searching.
I know. I have no clue what I'm doing next either. I just had this one on my radar for a while, and then I was like, well, here we go. Perfect.
I'm like, I find stuff, and I'm like I said, I kind of want a vigilante type thing. You know what I mean? But it's hard to find. So.
It is hard. It's hard to find a lot of things
But
related
to
crime in general in the Midwest, so...
I know. After I edit and stuff, that's what I'm going to be doing, is kind of trying to search a little bit. I did search a bit the other day, but I'm going to search again. But
I should probably start that now for myself, because, you know, nothing like the night before with paper all over the house, like trying to take notes and typing. And
right.
I finished watching something right before we even did this, so it was fresh in my mind. But it's not always like this, hopefully. So, that's all I got.
All right. Well, I'm behind on my show watching, because last week was just, my daughter has a double ear infection, and I had no idea because she didn't act like it. It just couldn't get her to listen. So that was fun. And now I'm getting a sinus infection. So that's a blast. But I know she was leaving for school today, and, like, she was fine. I think she's just tired. And I think with the drainage and stuff, she's been on the meds now for several days.
Oh yeah.
But we were getting ready to leave, and she's like, I have a headache. And she's on her head. And I was like, okay, let's still try to go to school, okay? Like, you just took your medicine. Hopefully it'll be okay. But I did message her teacher, too, because I was like, hey, if in an hour she's still complaining, just tell me and I'll come get her. Because I'm like, my kids can work themselves up into a fever.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to work tomorrow, aka today when this comes on. I'm like, I don't need to be missing a day of work because she doesn't really have a fever.
Right.
But I've got no messages, so I'm assuming she's fine once everyone was there.
Like, yeah.
I think she was just kind of tired and whiny. And
yeah, that's tough.
But it's
usually it's good to get there and they get distracted and then they kind of forget that they feel like crap. Yeah. So
Well, yeah. And it's just, yeah, it's just, I know there's a lot of stuff. I had another client tell me last week that norovirus is going around, which is like a really bad stomach
bug. Oh, yeah, yuck.
And then one of my clients from Saturday messaged me yesterday, and she was like, I have been throwing up. She was like, I'm pretty sure it's from my nephew. I saw after I saw you. You should be okay, but I'm so sorry if you get sick.
Like, brutal. I'm like,
all right.
Well, just the season.
I know. Hopefully an end in sight. I think my issue now is just my body doesn't like this back and forth with the weather.
I have noticed that as well. My headaches have been so bad, like, because it gets so nice and then it gets so cold. And yeah.
I know. But I am caught up on The Last of Us at the very least, and the first episode of The Mandalorian for my fellow nerds out there. So much Baby Grogu. I loved it.
Anything worthwhile. I mean, The Last of Us, and that's, I mean, that was amazing, and I don't want that to end soon, but
I know.
Yeah.
I did finish listening to Blood Like Magic and Blood Like Fate, which is a duology. Real good. I enjoyed those a lot. I did also read Heart-Shaped Box, which was supposed to be like a horror thriller thing. I didn't like it. It was meh. Yeah. Like, it had potential, but it just wasn't executed properly. It's like I finished it, but it was like meh, 3 stars.
Yeah. Trying to think, I read, well, those of you, I think I talked about The Housemaid. Well, the second one just came out like this month, called The Housemaid's Secret, and legit, very good. Still like the first one better, but this one was good. Highly recommend. I have a friend borrowing that one right now, and now I'm reading Regretting You, and that one is some heavy, it's good, but some drama and some, it's good, but that's about it right now. I mean,
I know.
I just have been like blah, not feeling anything lately. I just feel like things have been so busy that I just haven't even been able to do anything for myself. So
I did read a little bit of some manga, however you want to say it, of Jujutsu Kaisen, which I really like, because I like that anime. So I was starting that. But I'm still trying to read Insomnia by Stephen King. Like, it's good.
It's long.
It's long. And I'm listening to a book called Nettle and Bone, which is really cute. Like, I thought for some reason it was going to be more horror-esque.
Uh-huh.
And it's not, but it's still kind of a fun little romp. Like,
this
girl is the third princess, and her first two sisters get married off to this prince, who the first one dies suspiciously. Then the second one, we find out he's abusing her. So she's like, I am going to save my sister. So she goes to this woman to try to figure out how, and she's set on these tasks, and she makes one of them is making a bone dog. So a dog made of bones, and it comes to life, and it is the cutest thing. She just named it Bone Dog. I'm like, how unoriginal. All these names you could have given him, and you name him Bone Dog, but he's sweetest.
That. Yeah.
But then she's like kind of gathered up this little merry band of people to go try and save her sister. So it's kind of like an interesting fairy tale. She gets a little annoying sometimes, but like overall, it's been really cute. Actually, I was like, I thought this was going to be a little darker.
Yeah. Interesting.
But okay. Still fun. I'm not mad about it. It was just a shorter listen. It's only like 9 hours, so I've only got 2 hours left.
Well, that's not bad. There you go.
No, but then I'm trying to decide the author who wrote the Blood Like Magic and Blood Like Fate duology.
Mm-hmm.
She had a new book that just came out that I got called Delicious Monsters, which is supposed to be a horror. And I have it in an audiobook and paperback, so I just haven't decided which format I'm going to.
Decisions.
I know.
I love a good hardback, but sometimes a paperback is nice because you could shove it like in a bag without it feeling like it takes up a lot of room. And
an audiobook is just so handy for me sometimes too, because that's, I can get done more physical reading.
I don't
reading,
even know the last time I did an audiobook. I mean, I don't know. I just don't feel like I could do that. I feel like I would not have the attention span. Like, I have to physically read it, I think, I mean, unless I'm really in the zone and like paying attention, but I'm usually like, dur, dur, dur. So, you know.
I am 27 books down of my reading goal for the year so far.
Good. Let me see. I think I'm only at like 9, but
that's awesome. Audiobooks.
I know.
I've just, that's part of my ADD though, too. Is like when I get into something, like, and I've always loved reading and I would go through them a ton. And now that like my daughter's at an age where I can be like, she'll go play by herself more.
Yeah.
Girl's obsessed with puzzles.
Oh, yeah. So that'll entertain her for a long time.
She has this one that she just keeps putting back together over and over again. I'm pretty sure she has it memorized. So the other day she put together a 100-piece puzzle by herself.
Nice. That's impressive.
Yeah.
Go.
Yeah.
Or sorry, yeah, I don't know if I should have said her name.
Just fine. Yeah, it's fine. Nice. It's fine. I'll just bleep that out. But
no, it's fine.
You know, so it's like she's, so I can read more. I can actually physically read more often now. So that's,
which is
really
nice.
So I'm like able to do that again. And, but then that's where sometimes I like, I end up reading more instead of watching TV. Like I don't have the energy to like read for a bit and then watch. Like it's one or the other.
It's a lot. I know. And I have to have something that's really like sucking me in to watch to make me want to watch it. And right now I'm just like, blah, I'd rather read. So
yeah. But that's it, guys. We're 1 year in now. Thank you.
That's very exciting.
Continue.
Please, if you have not rated and reviewed us, do that. That's huge for us. And it takes like 2 seconds. So please do that. That would really be amazing.
Or, you know, share with your friends on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or in life, text it to people, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Share any story ideas with us or just comments or, you know, whatever. Reach out. We like to hear from you guys. So
absolutely.
You can email us at heartland.darklandpodcast@gmail.com. You can message us on Instagram or Facebook or Twitter or TikTok. All the things.
All the things.
It's all like Heartland Darkland. But I mean, you find Heartland Darkland.
Yeah.
We'll be there.
That's us. That is us. If anyone else has it, they're in trouble because that's ours. So
I
don't
back
think so.
Off. Until next time, stay Heartland kind.
But Darkland wary.